Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Moving quickly through this week of the Easter Octave, it is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Great to be with you. And I have to say, even though it's coming up tomorrow, really looking forward to catching up again with Doug Keck for our Inside Word on a Friday, because this weekend, of course, is Divine Mercy Sunday, and I just received a press release in my e-box this morning all about the events that are going on, of course, in Stockbridge and for the beautiful events for Divine Mercy Sunday, Father Chris Alar and others who will be there. And, of course, we will be there as well as an EWTN, so Doug will fill us in on all those details, but you don't want to miss it. It's just going to be terrific. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to speak on Divine Mercy Sunday, and it was just a joy. That was my first time at that beautiful center, actually my second time, I think, to that center out in Stockbridge. So we will bring you that information tomorrow, but just a reminder always to stay tuned right here to not only this program, Catholic Connection, but all of our programming. And for more information, EWTN.com, of course, and AveMariaRadio.net. All right, what's coming up on the program? Well, this is something I think you will enjoy, especially in this Easter season, because it's a great opportunity for us to always revisit our faith and to make sure that we, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, are always able to give a defense for the hope that is within us, but to do it with gentleness and reverence. And so Tom Nash, who's a wonderful apologist, give you his bio in a second. He is from my hometown in the Detroit area. I've known him for many years. You know him from his great work as a contributing apologist on Catholic Answers, as well as filling in for Al Cresta. He's reissuing, or has reissued, his beautiful book, To Whom Shall We Go? It is all about helping us understand the beauty and the biblical basis for the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And it's especially important because we're in this Eucharistic revival heading into the beautiful Eucharistic Congress coming up in just a few short months. So this is one of those books, as I told my local hours in the first, or my local listeners, excuse me, in the first part of the show for today. This is one of those books you want to grab if you don't have the original. The reissue just happened, of course, and we'll put the links on the Ave Maria Radio Catholic Connection archives. But To Whom Shall We Go by Thomas Nash is one of those books you want to have in your apologetics library. A little bit more background. Thomas has served the church professionally for more than 35 years, including as a theology advisor for EWTN. He's a contributing apologist, as I mentioned, and speaker for Catholic Answers, and also the author of 20 Answers, The Rosary and the Biblical Roots of the Mass. And he again has served as a regular guest apologist on Catholic Answers Live for more than 10 years. So he's well equipped to talk about the faith. He joins us in just about 15 minutes or so after the news. And then I was so excited. The one thing I love about speaking, well, many things I love about speaking is I love people. But you meet so many interesting people when you're out on the road and you travel. And so when I was speaking in Philly last month doing a pro-life talk in Philadelphia, a wonderful sister in the Lord, Jennifer Breen, came up to me afterwards at my book table, and we got to talking, and she tells me about her daughter, Cecilia, who is amazing. And she was having this conversation with her daughter a while ago, and her daughter was asking about what women can and cannot do in the church. And so Jennifer explained it to her that while women can't be priests or deacons, there's so many wonderful roles and opportunities for women in the church. And so little Cece said, well, how come we don't hear more about that, Mom? And she decided to do something about it in the form of a beautiful website of her own ministry, and it's called Girl Friday for God. It's a website and a mission, and so Cece is encouraging other girls to talk about why they love being Catholic and what they hope to do in the church. So this is an awesome evangelization tool, and Jennifer Breen and also Cecilia will be joining us today on a Thursday to talk all about Girl Friday for God. And again, we'll have the links in our Catholic Connection archive. So the weather, we're still looking at a fallout from some of the problems that we were talking about yesterday morning in terms of heavy snow across the Great Lakes in the Northeast. I was actually interviewing Father Mike Schmitz on my show yesterday regarding the Good News Cruise coming up in January, and he was telling me that Duluth, where he's from, got hit again with more bad weather. And some of the snow that we talked about is happening into today, especially in Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. And then there's snow moving, still moving through today, through New England and possibly most of the day. Also, moderate impact still occurring to travel and some power outages as well. So we still got those iffy situations in the states that we mentioned yesterday, pretty much the same for today. They're saying it's going to last through at least part of today. So that's a look at the weather and the rundown for today on a busy Thursday. We so appreciate your listenership, and you can find out more information again at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Let's get started on a Thursday, April 4th, with the news. Rescue efforts underway after that devastating magnitude 7.4 earthquake claimed nearly a dozen lives in Taiwan and left well over 900 injured. Janice Mackey-Frayers is in China with the latest.
The worst hit city is Hualien. It's on the eastern coast of Taiwan, about 11 miles from the earthquake's epicenter. Some buildings there are leaning very precariously.
There are fears that the death toll may rise as dozens remain trapped in highway tunnels, on blocked roads, and in rock quarries following the strongest earthquake to hit the island in 25 years. Rescuers are making efforts to reach anyone who may still be inside severely damaged or collapsed buildings. Experts say the aftershocks as strong as magnitude 7 are possible in the next few days. Pope Francis making his latest appeal for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, this during his weekly general audience at the Vatican. As Devin Watkins reports, the Holy Father lamenting the tragic news that he says continues to come from the Middle East.
I reiterate, said the Holy Father, my firm request for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The Holy Father expressed his deep regret for the staff members killed as they distributed humanitarian aid in Gaza and reassured his prayers for them and their families. On Tuesday, Israeli airstrikes killed 7 aid workers in Gaza who were delivering food with the U.S.-based charity World Central Kitchen. Those killed included 3 British nationals, an Australian, a Polish national, an American-Canadian dual citizen, and a Palestinian. I renew, said the Pope, my appeal for the exhausted and suffering civilian population to be allowed access to humanitarian aid and for the hostages to be released immediately. Let us avoid any irresponsible attempts to escalate the conflict in the region, he added, calling for tireless efforts to put an end to this and other wars that continue to bring death and suffering to so many parts of the world. I'm Devin Watkins.
Iowa's Governor Kim Reynolds this week signing legislation to protect religious freedom in her state, joining the majority of U.S. states that have enacted similar laws in recent years. Catholic News Agency reports Reynolds on her website yesterday announced that she had signed the Iowa Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, into law, the bill passing the State House and Senate back in February. More than half of U.S. states have already passed such measures since the federal government passed its own version of the law way back in 1993. And communities along rivers in northern New Jersey may be experiencing severe flooding over the next few days from the intense rainstorms that began yesterday. And as Scott Pringle reports, storms that are expected to continue through today.
The Passaic River, known to cause flooding, is expected to hit flood stage in the Little Falls-Patterson area later Thursday and is forecasted to stay in minor flood stage into the weekend. The Raritan River in Manville, meanwhile, that's supposed to reach minor flood stage as well. Some properties in low-lying areas may get flooding, but northern New Jersey rivers are not expected to be as high as they were from a couple other storms this winter that caused widespread flooding damage.
Meanwhile, cleanup crews are working across the state of Kentucky after multiple storms hit the state during this week. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says the scope of the damage is great.
A lot of the highway impacts were in central and eastern Kentucky. They included crashes involving large trucks or structures that were blown into roadways.
Weather personnel confirming tornadoes touched down in counties around Lexington, Kentucky. And the fate of Texas's controversial new immigration law is now in the hands of a federal appeals court, allowing for local police to arrest anyone they believe crossed the border illegally.
There wouldn't be probable cause in almost all cases unless a Texas officer sees somebody crossing the border.
Texas Solicitor General Aaron Nielsen pushing back against suggestions that it will lead to racial profiling, but lawyers for a handful of civil rights organizations telling the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that individual states do not have the right, they say, to enforce any immigration laws. And a man is in custody after he finally climbed down from a cell phone tower in Miami. Police and fire rescue rushed to the scene at about 5 a.m. yesterday after a T-Mobile employee called them reporting a man had scaled a powered-down tower.
He identifies himself as a T-Mobile worker, and the T-Mobile worker tells him, no, you're not, because I'm a T-Mobile worker, and I'm here because the power was shut off.
That's Police Officer Michael Vega saying they seemed to know what he was doing, or he seemed to know what he was doing, as he carefully walked around the tower and threw clamps that hold the boxes to the tower. Hours after negotiators in a raised platform ladder began talking with the man, he finally came down just before 11 a.m. and apologized, but did not give any reason as to why he climbed the tower. He does face, though, a long list of charges. Tensions in the Middle East, drone attacks on Russian refineries, and OPEC production cuts, as Aaron Riel tells us, have all contributed now to rising prices at the pump.
International benchmark Brent crude futures traded at $88 per barrel Tuesday, up $1.03 from the previous session. West Texas intermediate futures were up 98 cents a barrel, while U.S. crude touched a five-month high of $85 a barrel. OPEC member Iran has blamed Israel for a deadly airstrike Monday on its consulate in Syria, which reportedly killed seven of its officers. Tehran has pledged to take revenge for that attack. Meanwhile, a Ukrainian drone strike in Russia Tuesday hit one of the country's largest oil refineries just south of Moscow.
And Florida is trying to toughen regulations for food delivery platforms. Governor Ron DeSantis signing a measure into law this week that will give the state regulatory control over the services such as Uber Eats and Grubhub. It will also require those platforms to have the consent of restaurants before taking orders. The goal is to prevent companies from altering prices listed at local businesses. And there's a new effort to reduce distracted driving in New Jersey. The state AG and transportation officials announcing the launch of a campaign called You Drive, You Text, You Pay. It runs all month. More than $1 million in grants are going toward boosting patrols at target drivers who text, talk on the phone, and do other distracting things behind the wheel. Violators face fines of up to $400 for a first offense and up to $800 for additional offenses. Jacqueline Carl tells us New York City-based JetBlue Airlines is now charging more for checked luggage during peak hours.
JetBlue's new peak and off-peak pricing structure began on March 22nd with no notice from the airline. It's the second time they've changed their fees so far this year. The fees apply to domestic flights, with the first check bag during peak travel times costing $5 more and the second check bag costing an additional $10. Peak hours make up about half the year and include most of April, the weeks around the holidays, and the entire summer. There are also additional fees for bags checked within 24 hours of a flight, as well as oversized bags. JetBlue tells CNN and increased fuel costs and higher pay for employees are the reason for the increased prices.
And cloud coverage could impact views of Monday's total solar eclipse for those in the path of totality. The National Weather Service says current forecasts show cloud cover to be most likely from Texas through southern Arkansas, along with parts of the Ohio Valley. The regions with the best chances for clear skies are northern New England, upstate New York, southern Missouri, and central Indiana. This will be the first solar eclipse to be visible in the U.S. since 2017. The next visible total solar eclipse for the contiguous U.S. won't take place until the year 2044. And the world-famous Rockettes, as Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, are holding open call auditions this week at Radio City Music Hall.
Five, six, seven, eight. If you think you've got what it takes to be a Rockette, now's your chance to find out. They're looking for excellent dancers, 18 and older, who are proficient in jazz, ballet, and tap, who can learn complicated choreography quickly. There's a height requirement, 5'5 to 5 feet 10 and a half inches tall. The Rockettes are the longest-running precision dance troupe in America, doing their high kicks in the legendary Christmas Spectacular at Radio City and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN, this program, Catholic Connection, of course, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
Beckway Door is a top provider of garage doors as well as home entry, patio, and storm doors. Locally owned since 1978, we give free, no-pressure quotes at prices 20% lower than most competitors, and often provide same-day service for garage door repairs. Mention Ave Maria Radio for 10% off the replacement or service of your garage door or the installation of new exterior doors. Visit BeckwayDoor.com. That's BeckwayDoor.com.
The Archbishop of Detroit, Alan Vigneron, published a little booklet called The Beauty of Truth, and it deals with this very question of words and the use of words. And it's a great sorrow, the Archbishop points out, when the quantity of words being expressed is at an all-time high, and the consequences of ill-used words are causing more harm to the cause of truth and the good of the human soul than maybe ever before. Are we part, as they say, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Are we constantly carping about society, church, media, police? Because if so, we're gonna have to go out of our way to demonstrate this kind of patience with one another, to let people think through things rather than, you know, immediately slam them with, I've got the answer for you, buddy. Words matter.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Ciao, my name is Antonio Ruggiero, and if you're in the mood for some real authentic Italian food, Antonio's is the place. We make everything in-house the old-fashioned way, fatta in casa. We make our own soups, sauces, pastas, and of course, our famous baked bread. Come on in and try one of our signature dishes that my mom created, like gnocchi Rita, that I know you can't find anywhere else because there's only one Mama Rita and she's at Antonio's. So come break bread with us.
That's Antonio.
Antonio's Cucina Italiana.
We have work to do, and we are thankful that you join us because you are making a difference. We have our membership drive coming up on Monday, April 8th. And if you want an example of the good that you are doing, then listen to this email. This came in yesterday, and this is from a woman named Becky, and she's from South Dakota. And she says, I just wanted to extend appreciation for all that you do for people like me on your program, Catholic Connection. I'm the mother of five, a full-time caregiver of a son with severe cerebral palsy. I joined a Bible study at church 6 years ago, just trying to get some positive interaction with other adults, hopefully of similar morals as myself, as I felt like I was drowning in a hopeless sea of lies and deception in the secular world. I was looking for hope. The first thing at the study I remember is a flyer that went out amongst our study group to listen to you at a talk in Sioux Falls. I had no idea who you were, but I learned of Real Presence Radio at this time and started tuning in. I now listen to it every day. No TV, no Facebook. I just learned on 94.5 FM. Even my kids will tell you, Teresa Tomeu is my favorite, and I never miss a Thursday with Father Mitch. I've learned so much from all the programs, Dr. A, Dr. Anders, Open Line, etc. I feel like a fool not really knowing my faith all these years until recently. Now I have fallen in love with the faith, and my goals and objectives have all been transformed. My husband of nearly 24 years just converted to the faith 18 months ago, and my brother has come back to regularly taking part in the Mass and received the gift of confirmation last year. He became my son's sponsor for his confirmation in January. Things are moving in the right direction in this house, and it all started with your voice welcoming me home. She says, I felt the urge to reach out to you to thank you and encourage you, especially since I feel I already know you. I feel every bulletin should encourage those of us in the pews to tune in to Real Presence Radio. It truly changes lives and gives hope. So Real Presence Radio has this program because you support Ave Maria Radio. We say this time and time again in the membership drive, that you're not only enforcing your own faith and strengthening yourself and your family here in Michigan, but you are supporting people around the country and the world because we are the ones who produce these programs for EW10, and we work hand in hand with them to give you 24/7 Catholic programming. And I know money is tight right now for everybody. But what better investment when you hear a story like this, or Keith from Pennsylvania, who was talking to us last week about how Ave Maria Radio and EW10 led him into the Catholic Church. This is really good work that we're all called to be a part of, and we thank you for it, and we hope that you'll consider continuing that work. Okay, I admit I'm somewhat biased. I've known Tom Nash for a long time. He's a fellow Michigander and Metro Detroiter, and we go way back, and you know him from his great work at Catholic Answers and filling in for Al Cresta and his great work at EW10 in their theology department. He's also a wonderful author who helps us understand the faith more deeply, including with his new book, To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church, and it was published recently by our friends at St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Okay, Thomas, great to have you back on the program. So why this book now, do you think? What was the motivation for you?
Well, it's something, you know, I had always wanted to do something on the church, Teresa. That was the first thing I wanted to do, and somebody else was scheduled to do it back in the day when I worked at a place called Catholic Center for Faith. And I'm doing my book, Worthy is the Lamb, which became, mm-hmm. Republishing the Biblical Roots of the Mass. But I wanted to do a church thing, and I did an independent work on it, but I, back in 2016, 2017, but wanted to get it to a wider audience. Because, you know, with publishing books, is you put it in the pipeline, and it doesn't, it takes a year. And so I wanted to get it out during 2017 quincentennial of the Reformation. But so now I'm happy that St. Paul has come and put it out anew, in a new version, To Whom Shall We Go? Because I just really believe it goes back to what our Lord says, you know, to whom shall we go? I like how the fact that what does Jesus ask of us? And I like how on the title of the book it says, to whom shall we go? And the whom is bolded, Teresa, meaning this is following God's will, Jesus' will. And everything we believe about a pope when he speaks definitively, anything we believe about the Blessed Mother, the saints, it all goes back to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Eucharist, John 6, the Bread of Life Discourse. It goes back, and so it's like we want to follow Jesus, and we're going to the Eucharistic revival as well as Catholics, but we need to realize that this is that God founded a visible church, and if we're going to have any chance for the unity that he desires, people have to go as they did it back in the day in the Old Covenant. You realize that God established visible leaders in Old Covenant salvation history and in New Covenant salvation history. And so I think it's important to realize that God founded the church, the sacraments he established are saving, and we need to come to know him better as Catholics. And for those who are not Catholic, are Christians, that, hey, whatever you might not like as what you see about some Catholics who might be a stumbling block, don't let that deter you from encountering Jesus in the Eucharist. Don't let that deter you from realizing that the church he founded 2,000 years ago has been sustained. And if we're going to have any chance for unity, as Jesus prayed for in John 17, there's got to be a visible authority, Teresa. We talked about, as I talked, my one chapter about whatever we can do, God can do better. Well, what do we do here in the United States? We don't simply say, have these ideas or a constitution, but don't have anybody to interpret it. For better or for worse, we have an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch to keep order. And how much more would you expect from God? And if God, Jesus prays in John 17 that they may all be one in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, it makes no sense that he would do that without establishing a visible hierarchical structure. And indeed, he's God, and whatever God prays for comes to be. And indeed, this is from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And Jesus is God. John 58, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, they pick up stones to throw at him because they considered it to be blasphemous, claiming equality with God. So if he's speaking like this and praying as he did and praying for unity, it makes no sense that he would not establish a hierarchical structure. And we do see that with regard to the church. And we don't look at the Pope as some person who cannot do any wrong, whoever the Pope is, beginning with St. Peter, but precisely because Jesus founded him. And this whole thing about what is the rock, who is the rock, well, ultimately the rock has its strength because Jesus founded him. And in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, people say, oh, well, if you look at the Greek, it's Petros, Peter is you are Peter, Petros, and on this Petra rock, I will build my church. And so they think that means Peter's a little stone. It's his confession of faith. It's not Peter per se. But they fail to see that the Pope in the early church exercised a primacy of authority. Mm-hmm. And that if you look at his name elsewhere, you see it in John 1:42 and other places where he is called Cephas or Cephas. And that goes back to the Aramaic word, which is rock. It didn't, and so that we see with regard to Petros, Petra, you can, like, you know how it is, things that are in Spanish, I studied, there are feminine and there are masculine endings. And you can't call Peter Petra because that's a girl's name. But Petra is a rock, it means a big rock, and Petros happened to be a little stone. But if there's any doubt about it, you look at what the Aramaic is and how the Greek form of it transliterated, Cephas or Cephas, 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 depending on how one wants to pronounce it, meaning a large rock, a crag, that is something big and strong. And so precisely that it is founded on Peter, and that it will be sustained through Peter.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN, this program, Catholic Connection, of course, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned. By the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, having a great conversation with author and speaker and apologist Thomas Nash. To whom shall we go? The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church, the reissue. More information at St. Paul's Center for Biblical Theology. I also love the scene after the resurrection when the apostles run to the tomb. And there's a beautiful painting by the artist whose name escapes me now, but I've actually seen it displayed in Rome. It's just a gorgeous picture of the look on the faces. I think it's St. Peter and John who are running, right, to the tomb. And John gets there first, but Scripture is clear to say he doesn't go in. And Peter comes, and Peter goes in first. So there was some sort of a recognition, even that early on, in Christendom and in the church, as it was formed at that point in the very, very early stages, that the apostles recognized Peter, correct?
Yes, and another good passage where you say, well, that's an interesting, he's being polite to his elders or something like that. And we can see that even in praying for Peter, we can see this in the upper room when they talk to him. They go, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned against strengthen your brethren, and the Greek of that is, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, meaning you all, as in plural, but I have, that he might sift you all like we, but I pray for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. But when you, singular Peter, you know, in other words, it goes from the plural, Satan has prayed, demanded to have you, you know, that he might sift you like we, that he goes from the plural, you all, to you, Peter. And so I pray for you, Peter, in particular. So Peter is going to have that thing about, have that power to, that you, your faith, Peter, may not fail, singular. And when you have turned again, Peter, singular, strengthen your brethren, so that Peter, again, is being singled out by Jesus, mm-hmm. that he has this role, that he has this sense of primacy. And we see it in the early church. We see it exercised in the various councils, that Peter has a primacy of authority. And therefore, we are going, that he is going to... if there is a decision, that it's going to work out. I mean, even Peter, we see it in speaking in Acts 15 of the First Council of Jerusalem. Peter steps forward. Then James, you know, follows after him in speaking about how we're not going to put upon the Gentiles anything that is not strictly necessary. And thus, again, you know, not food strangled animals, food offered mm-hmm. to idols, etc. But there is something that they even there, you see authority, there's a classic example in the early church that visible authority, the apostles, they don't have scripture. The books have not been written, let alone collected, right, Teresa?
Right,
but
right.
They have to have mm-hmm. somebody stepping up, and that so much are the apostles identified with the teachings of Jesus that it is called not simply the teachings of Jesus, but the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. We see it in Acts 2, verse 42, that we see that there is this living, visible authority. And for our brothers and sisters who say, well, no, it's faith alone, and that it's sola scriptura, you look at that and you say, well, how could it be sola scriptura when the people were not, most people weren't literate at that time, and even on a large level, most people weren't literate across the board until recent centuries.
Right.
That's just the reality. Even the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, he can read, right? And he goes, and he says, but he didn't say, when he asked Philip, is he talking about himself or someone else? He's reading about the suffering servant. And of course, we know that Jesus is that suffering servant who offers his life for atonement for the many, as it speaks about in Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. That he says, who is it? You know, and he doesn't say, well, pray to the Holy Spirit and you'll know. he explains it to him. In other words, there's always going to be a need for.
Well, he says, how can I know if someone doesn't teach me? And he was literate. He could read. Let me just ask. We only have a few minutes left. Yeah. I want to make another point that's super important. And by the way, once again, we're talking with Tom Nash, the reissue of his beautiful book, To Whom Shall We Go? Yeah. The Biblical Case for the Catholic Church. I think it's super important for right now that it's reissued this year because there's so much confusion and so many people are frustrated with the stories that are coming out of Rome, and sometimes you sit there and you scratch your head. And I've had people write me saying they're leaving the church because they've had it with this leader or that leader. And my thought is, you know, I pray for them because we understand the frustration because they love the church. But if you love the church, why are you leaving? Because you're leaving the Eucharist. You're leaving 2,000 years of teaching. We are not in this for any pope, whether it be Francis, Benedict, JP II, St. Peter. We are in it because of the teachings handed down by Jesus that are carried out through the apostolic authority of the church. But we can't walk away. It's like exactly what St. Peter says. And then Jesus says to him after the discourse, so are you going to leave too? And Peter says what? To whom shall we go? Only you have the words of everlasting life.
Yes, and that even we remind ourselves that when we have an interregnum, I remember somebody wrote and said, we are orphans no longer when Pope Francis was first elected. It's like, well, wait a second. The beautiful thing about an interregnum is that the church doesn't end or stop or go into limbo. It continues precisely because Christ is always on his throne, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Christ, you know, they expected a political savior. And even they said in one Acts 1, 6 to 8, well, will you restore the reign to Israel soon? Well, he basically tells them, don't worry about the seasons that God has appointed, but I will send you the Holy Spirit. In other words, there's going to be one king, he's going to reign on high, but he always works visible authority. We see it in Isaiah 22. I get into that in the book. There's always visible authority through which God works, right? That there is that somebody who binds and looses. And he goes, whatever you bind and whatever you loose. And some people have the authority. We all have to forgive those who trespass against us. Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. But only some people had the power in God's name to generally forgive sins or retain sins, John 20. And the whole thing about that is about retaining sins. We have to know that we are accountable, not just one act of faith, but as Jesus says that in to the rich young man, what must I do to be saved? He doesn't simply say, you know, what must you do? Just faith alone. No, he talks about fulfilling the commandments. And he says, well, I've done all these. But he says, well, then if you want to be perfect, you know, go sell all you have. And it's like, He's holding back. And
you know, this book is such a great resource. We only have about 60 seconds left, so I just want to remind folks to pick up a copy because, really, you do such a great job of you make a biblical and historical case for the church, especially for the leadership of the church. And I think just if you're frustrated right now, many of us are, and I get it, pick up this book because it's going to give you, I think, Thomas, what you've done here is remind us of the beauty of the church that Christ founded on St. Peter the Rock. And the biblical case for it, but also looking at it in a historical perspective, and to think about maybe how we feel right now about certain things, and why are we Catholic, whether we're a convert, whether we're a revert, whether we, you know, have a strong faith or a weak faith, what is it about the church that keeps you identifying as a Catholic? Well, to me, it's that question, to whom shall we go? I mean, where are you going to go? Seriously.
And he found, in a real quick thing, he founded it, he established it, he's going to sustain it. And if we go to think, well, I'm going to leave the church, well, where are we going? We're going to be on our own apart from Christ. No, he always saves through a visible authority structure. And that is why we go to the church. That's why sustain the church. And even, you know, weeds among the weeds, as Jesus talks about the parables, that there can be evil that is existing, but that doesn't mean that God is not with his church and sustaining it. And so we always need to stay with God. And the authority structure that he established, that is with the church, because it is his church first and foremost, and that we don't look to simply the mere physical, the mere human authorities when things are not completely clear. We look to the constitution of the church. We look to Jesus Christ, who sustains the pope and prevents any pope from teaching error.
Amen.
Definitive faith and morals.
Well said, and you can check it out at our bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net, also the EWTN Religious Catalog, or just go to the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. They have so many great resources there. That will be stpaulcenter.com. Again, stpaulcenter.com. The book they're reissuing of To Whom Shall We Go? The Biblical Case of the Catholic Church by our friend Thomas Nash. We'll be right back.
Join Charity Mobile, the pro-life, pro-family phone company for nearly 30 years. New customers get a free phone or $100 off plus free shipping and free activation. Use promo code AVE, AVE. There's no contract or termination fees.
5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Our pro-life reps are based in the USA. Enjoy great coverage and great service. Join Charity Mobile, and by the way, you believe. Go to charitymobile.com/Ave.
Modern philosophers Kierkegaard, Shelley, Sartre proposed the idea that existence precedes essence, by which they meant, in simpler terms, that in the process of time we make or create who and what we are. We understand, of course, that there are those who believe that their doing has been more successful than that of others, and have consequently argued that their being is on a higher state than that of others. This is the kind of thinking that leads to genocide, gas chambers, and abortion clinics. However, folks like Barb and Patrick and Paul and Alicia believe that from the beginning human essence is divinely ordered and infinitely valuable, and where else can we state this more clearly than our defense of preborn children who cannot prove themselves or justify themselves? They can only be, which is why they are so precious to one named I Am. Go to GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
There was no single event. It was more gradual. You know, eventually you just don't go one Sunday and then you don't go two Sundays in a row. Then went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Well, this is going to be fun and uplifting. I had the opportunity to meet Cecilia, or Cece's mom, at a recent speaking engagement in Pennsylvania. And Jennifer was telling me all about her amazing daughter, Cecilia Breen, Jennifer Breen, both joining us today, and about her own mission, her own ministry she began because she was curious as to what girls could do and women could do in the church. What are our different roles? And after prayer and thought, she came up with, and I'll let her start the conversation and tell us about it, but this idea of Girl Friday for God is so wonderful. So welcome to Jennifer Breen and Jen, your daughter, Cecilia. Cece, honey, let me start with you. Let's talk about where the idea for Girl Friday came from, and thanks for joining us.
Well, one day I asked my mom, why can't girls be priests? She explained to me how we were following the example that God had provided. When God became one of us, he chose to come as a man. He could have come as a man or a woman, but he chose to be a man. And like all babies, Jesus was born from a woman. So in his plan to save us, God chose to come into the world the same way that we do. This means that a woman, Mary, played an important role in God's plan. So my mom and I started to come up with a list of all the things that girls and women can do, even though they can't be priests. It wound up being a whole bunch. Like, you can be a religious sister, or you can be an altar server, a cantor, a lector, a sacristan, and a bunch of other things. So after we made the list, we thought we should tell other people all the ways that they can serve God. We decided to make a website to share the information and help girls and women.
That is awesome. So, Jennifer, what was your response when Cece really embraced all the beautiful roles that women do have in the church?
Well, you know, I can still remember that day because when Cece asked me, why can't girls be priests, as I was answering and kind of unpacking all of the wonderful reasons why God had set that example out, I started to prepare for the pushback, right? I was figuring she's certainly going to protest, right? What young lady is not going to say, but that's not fair. But that is when the Holy Spirit came into the mix, and we just, you know, had that pivotal moment where she said, but what can we do? And so the very first thing I did was I just thanked God in that moment. And then we just embraced it and started to brainstorm together. That's when, you know, she decided that she wanted to take it to the next level, too. And so it was this wonderful moment as a mom where you're watching your daughter that you have done everything to try to hopefully raise them in the faith and to set a good example for them. And she was like, we have to let people know, Mom. Like, we need to get this out there. And that's when we decided to put it on the website. So
that's amazing. So, Jennifer, for our listeners, before I go back to Cece, give us the exact website, the link they can find out more about this wonderful teaching on all that we can do as women in the church.
Sure. So the website is girlfridayforgod.com. And so that's Girl Friday, the number four, God.com.
And Cece, back to you, honey. What has been the response from other girls your age and just in general to your whole idea here and the website?
Well, I've told some of my friends, and I think they like it. I've actually told more grown-ups about it. I think they all think it's a great idea. And they have been encouraging me to keep spreading the message.
That's awesome. So how are you doing that? Are you doing that mainly online, Cece, or in other ways?
We have, like, business cards that we give out to people. And so I've been giving them out to some people, like some priests even.
Yeah, it's definitely been an in-person exchange for the most part and then driving people to the website. Although we have been, again, brainstorming new ways to be able to get the message out. And so that's why we were so delighted when you had offered this opportunity to speak with you today. So thank you so much. And we really hope that this will drive even more people, even if they don't go to the website, Teresa, just to think about the important role that women and girls have to play in God's kingdom.
Well, yeah, your point, Jennifer, is so well taken because it's always when it comes up about the male priesthood, it's always to the negative, isn't it, when usually with the culture and women are involved, oh, why can't we do this and well, that should change, as opposed to what Cece did. It said, huh, that's really cool that we have all these different opportunities because we're equal in God's eyes, but we're different, you know, the whole male-female complementarity thing. So, Jennifer, have you ever thought about, and then I'll go back to Cece in a minute, I'm thinking in terms of this might be a nice retreat for a school, you know, a middle school or a grade school, to come together at a Catholic school and talk to girls about what they can do within the whole, you know, Girl Friday framework. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I certainly don't want to take anything away from Cece because that is literally something we were talking about yesterday. She was talking about what a program would look like. And, you know, being a student herself, she was thinking about what would she expect being the recipient of such a retreat. And she was like, Mom, we have to make it interactive. And so we've already started to put together a framework for that. So
awesome. I think that's great. So, Cece, where do you think, in addition to the conferences, well, first of all, let me just ask you another question that came to mind. Why is it important for young girls to appreciate the roles that they can have in the church? Why is that important for you to spread the word about that?
Well, I think it's important for girls to know what roles they can have, because each role is important. God created each of us with things that make us special. Not everyone feels comfortable doing everything, but every girl can do something. And if we all do our part, it helps us create a little bit of heaven on earth.
You're amazing. Jennifer, I'm just like listening to her. It's like you must be so proud.
Oh, I have no idea. I can't even tell you the number of teachable moments that I have had. I mean, as a mom, you figure that it's your job to teach your children, and you do whatever you can for them. But then some of the most rewarding moments come when they start to teach you. And honestly,
yeah,
some of the things that have come out of, you know, her brain have just been remarkable to learn from. So.
Well, what I think is really great, Jennifer, and also Cece, but Jennifer, I'll go back to you first, is the title of the website or the mission that you have, the ministry, Girl Friday for God. It's such a cool title because, I mean, and I'm thinking you and I are probably, I mean, it was even before our time, but I think you're a little bit younger than me, but we're basically the same age. The movie Girl Friday with Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant, she was like, she did everything, you know, in her role. And that's really what Girl or Gal Friday means. You do a lot of different things. That's why I think it's such an appropriate title for the website, number one. But Jen, let me go to you and ask you, Jennifer, where do you think, and I'll ask Cece, this is going in the future, what else would you like to see this develop into? You mentioned maybe some retreats or presentations for girls, but maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, eventually when CC gets to college and goes on to be a senator or a president, which is what it sounds like she's on the way to being. What do you think in the future?
So, you know, the possibilities are endless. And honestly, I mean, this really is a movement. You know, I've thought a lot about how in the Old Testament, right, there were the prophets, and they were, like, convicted. They just had to spread the message. And some of them didn't want to, right? We've talked about that, too, about sometimes you feel like, you know, it's not your day, you're not ready to do it. And so that's where, you know, you just kind of step out in faith, and you realize that you don't have to do this massive thing, right? Like Mother Teresa would always say, you know, you do small things with great love, but that just has the ability to change the world, right? Mm-hmm. You might not change mm-hmm. the whole world, but you can change that one person's life that's in front of you. And so I really just pray and hope that that's what this is all about. It's just finding a way. I mean, half the world is women. Half the world, you know, is being addressed by this message. And so we just want to get the word out and maybe change the world, right? One little step at a time. We're stepping out in faith.
Well, I think what's so beautiful about this is that a lot of women don't even know, and especially, Jennifer, you know, if you're growing up in the 60s and the 70s and maybe there was some poor catechesis, you don't even know how many beautiful roles there are for women. I wrote a whole chapter about this in my book, Extreme Makeover, where I talked about the fact that women have some of the most incredible positions within the church. And if you look at someone right like Mother Cabrini or Mother Teresa, look at what they accomplished in terms of their ministry spreading around the world. And then even in the church, different chancellors, women at different levels. The second most powerful person in the Vatican right now is a woman. So everyone looks at the priesthood as if that's the only opportunity for women in the church. So this is such an educational effort that you're doing, you and CC are doing, not just for young girls, but I think for all of us. CC, what do you think? What would you like to do with this, or where would you like to see the website Girl Friday for God go in the future? What are your thoughts?
So first, I want to find ways to let as many women and girls know about the important role that they have in God's kingdom. So I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and share our message with your listeners. I also want to keep adding more information to the Girl Friday for God website. That's where your listeners can help. We have a page on our website called the Girl Friday for God Squad. We want women and girls to tell us what they are doing for God. They can submit a photo or a post telling us what they are doing for God. I'm sure there are things that we didn't think of, and this will help us learn more, and then we can add to the site.
So, Jennifer, what kind of stories have people shared with you so far? And Cece just mentioned that many people are weighing in and many young women are weighing in on this. What have you seen so far in terms of the response of what others are doing?
Sure. Well, first of all, as Cece already mentioned, people have been very receptive. I have mm-hmm. actually been so encouraged as she's stepping out and evangelizing her faith, right? Ask, hey, Mom, do you have a business card? And she'll go up to people. But we've met so many different people, and some of them are featured on the website already. So, for instance, we have a woman at our church, and she's in her 90s, and she's been doing so many different things throughout her life. She was a sacristan at one point. She leads the daily rosary. And, you know, despite the fact that she's in her 90s, she is still convicted. And that's such a glowing example that you're never too old to be a Girl Friday for God. But again, to your earlier point, Teresa, there are women that don't necessarily know that they can hold these positions, whether it's a volunteer position or a paid position. There's so many ways. And you don't even have to make this firm commitment, right? It can just be what you do today. And it can be something as simple as saying good morning to somebody when you're out and passing along that smile and that little God spark that's in you so that someone else is be able to receive it. And then you just never know where that's going to go. So
yeah, I just think the whole thing is a great idea. And God bless you, both of you, for embracing this, and Cece, for your courage to do this. It's so important. Girl Friday for God, Jennifer Breen and her daughter, Cece Breen. Okay, Jennifer, one more time, the website for all of our listeners so they can check it out.
Yes, Girl Friday, the number 4, God.com.
There you go, Girl Friday for God.com. Jennifer and Cece, thank you so much. And Jennifer, it was great to meet you in Pennsylvania not too long ago. Keep up the great work, and you're obviously doing a great job of raising an amazing young girl. Thanks, Cece.
You're welcome.
Okay, honey, and we'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.